Up here. Maybe someday you'll be a pastor of some big church. Who knows, Javion? Maybe God. Yeah, I got a junior pastor here. In fact, you know what? There's a church just for you little kids. I think they're going to take you somewhere else now.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, girls. Hi there. Yeah. Hey, girl. Yeah. All right. Hey, man. All right.
One down.
Yeah. His name's Stephen. He's a Stephen.
I'm a Stephen. One down, Steve.
No. Steve's you. Well, hey. Hi there. How are you? What's that all about? Darcy and Melissa and their children live in Hutchinson. And I was thinking one day, we like Hutchinson. Unfortunately, we haven't been back there for a long time. But there's a lot of good churches in Hutchinson. Yeah, I was thinking one day, you know, for all those good churches and all those people there interested in other people, souls and everything, if all of Hutchinson went to church on Sunday, I don't think there's nearly enough room in those churches for the people. So there's a lot of people that are missing out. There's so many things to do here in Kansas City, and out of the hundreds of things to do, we know about a dozen of them as far as our participation, but a lot of great things. And been fun to see the Blue Angels flying overhead for some of us, just watching them and the precision of those planes. It's really remarkable. But I was thinking at some big football games in the past, like handing out tracts, you know, there's the attention of the crowd and the attention of heaven. And I was thinking, you know what, I believe the attention of heaven is more interested in a little spot where somebody's passing out tracts than the whole stadium. And so a lot of great things going on in Kansas City today. A lot of great things. Nothing wrong with them. Enjoy them. I hope you can too. But it's really important and really a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and God for meeting our needs and for loving us so much. And as demonstrated in this passage, for loving people the way you do. Loving individuals, loving families, loving little children, caring about the broken hearts of moms and dads. What a great God. And God, we just thank you that we will be able to be resident in the presence of your love forever and just to bask in your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 5 this morning. One name for God is Jehovah Shammah, meaning the God who is there. Unfortunately, a lot of homes today have a phantom father, a father who is not there. Or perhaps some fathers who, when they are there, they really are not there. They really aren't participating very much. Some walk away from their homes. The home doesn't just need a man in the house. A home like that needs a father. Well, here's Jairus, and he's a Mark chapter 5, a ruler in a local synagogue, but he's also a father. His heart is deeply touched because his little precious one now is dying. And he is not ashamed to go and seek Jesus Christ. Interestingly, he goes himself. He does not send his wife to find Jesus. He does not send someone else. He's a man of great position, but that does not stop him. He's a man being watched by a crowd, many of them adversaries of Jesus. But Jairus is not ashamed to seek Jesus Christ himself. And so our children, many times, you know, we weep for them. And Jairus would weep for his. But our children ought to be able to hear us calling on the name of the Lord. And that's one thing Jairus's little girl could be assured of. Her father was willing to go to the Lord in her behalf. This little girl knew her daddy was not ashamed to bring Jesus to their house in order to see her healed. You know, for a lot of people, the religious crowd, Jesus was a friend of sinners. They did not like that. In fact, they would even say Jesus did his miracles through the devil himself. But this little daughter, precious daughter, dying girl of Jairus, discovers her daddy is not ashamed in his love for her to express that love. It's so compelling. He loves her so much, he goes and falls at the feet of Jesus. There he cries out, "I beg of you, please come." And so he has a place in society. Forget that. He didn't care about that. He doesn't care about what others might say. He loves his child. Love drives him to Jesus. Well, we don't know how long this little girl lived. We know she's healed. I believe she lived to be quite elderly, probably. I don't believe God just healed her and saved her life just to let her die in a few years. But we don't know. But one thing she knew for the rest of her life, not a day went by but what she didn't know, that she was alive because of her daddy's love. Her daddy's love. What parents won't do to save their children. Likely she grew up to have children. Or for little grandchildren to hear again the story of her daddy. Her daddy who went to Jesus. And how she was brought back to life again. Well, here's an example too of the power of God. We love to see our children serve Jesus. And a lot of things we do not understand, but we do understand this. A lot of things they don't understand, but they understand this. We want them to live. We want them to be blessed. And we want them to live with us forever in heaven. And so here in Mark chapter 5, here's a tragedy. Because the chilling fingers of death visit the home and take the precious little girl of Jairus, who's only 12 years old. His heart is broken. The family's hearts are broken. In the midst of this tragedy, he turns to Jesus Christ. And so we see in verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And so here's Jairus. He's a ruler in the synagogue. And so, you know, when Jairus spoke, it doesn't happen for me. Yeah, I'm laid back. Everybody knows it. Our people are respectful. I'm not saying anything negative. But when Jeriah spoke in a crowd, people listened. People stopped. Hush. When he walked into a room, probably people stood up. It's Jeriah's. He's got prominence, position, prestige, popularity, and power, the privileges of being an important man in the community. You might look at his life and say, he's got it all. He's got it all. But none of that matters. None of that matters at a time like this when sickness and death are visiting his home. Who cares about that? Who cares who you are? Death doesn't care. Never matters what you possess or the power or the position. Sickness doesn't care. Jairus was very religious. Religion was powerless to help him at a time like this. So he would trade everything, just to save his little treasure, his little girl. In fact, Luke calls her his one and only daughter. One and only daughter. Now she's dying. A lot of people spend their entire lifetimes trying to be great, but you know, when tragedy comes, what is all of that about anyway? Death does not care if you are a millionaire. Sorrow does not care what you've done. And so when they come calling, you'd better know someone greater than you. And Jairus knew. He knew where to go. I believe Jesus. The hand of Jesus can heal my daughter. So how do we come before Jesus Christ? One thing about Jairus, you've got to respect him. He came. He's a great man. He came reverently to Jesus. He came prayerfully to Jesus. Passionately, as he fell at the feet of Jesus. So in other words, you know, though he's big before men, big, he humbled himself before the Lord. That's the way to come. I think of my good friend Michael Smalljumper, and I contacted City Garden Mission, and what are those stories they tell about people's lives on the radio? What's that? Unshackled, yeah. I told Unshackled about Michael Smalljumper. They contacted Michael. Michael had been a big Sioux Indian man. And he was a fighter, and he was in the bars, and he was rough. He told about being in, I think it was out in Minnesota at the time, living in abandoned basements and trying to roll up in a mattress in the middle of the winter just so he wouldn't freeze to death, living out of the bars and things. Fighter. But Michael Smalljumper got saved. And the Pacific Garden Mission Unshackled aired his story on the radio. But it was right after he died of cancer. Michael never got married, but he had six children from different women. And dying prayer of Michael, of course, it's for his kids. And now he's gone. You might just say a prayer from Michael's kids even as you're sitting there. He'd appreciate that. I pray for Michael's kids. How we love our kids. Before you get any words with God, before you can intercede before God, you have to get small. See that he is everything, and we are nothing. The way up is down on our knees. And so it's not our ability, it's God's to receive what we need. Verse 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So here's faith. Jairus, he doesn't understand everything about Jesus, doesn't know Jesus well, but he believes Jesus can heal my daughter. It takes the Lord's touch. This is the kind of faith the Lord is looking for. We just come to an end of ourselves, and there we find the beginning with God. I cannot, Lord, but you can. You can, and that's faith. And so we say, Lord, I can't fight these battles. I can't win these victories, but you can. And so the absolute surrender, friend, it's found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And so when Jairus shares his story with Jesus, you know what? There's a sympathetic ear here, and Jesus is ready to go to his house. But now, as we talked about last week, along comes this woman with the issue of blood, and she comes and reaches out to Jesus. He stops, and he turns around. He speaks with her, and he addresses her needs, and he heals her. But that's to Jairus. To Jairus, that is a hindering situation. Jesus wants to go to Jairus' house. Jesus wants to heal his daughter. We hear a throng by the crowd. Now what? Jesus stops. And so what? Precious minutes are passing by. Oh, can you imagine? Here's the great physician of the universe, and he's on his way to your house. Your child is dying. Little time is left. And he stops. Well, Jesus knows the seriousness in that home, and he knows the broken heart of this father. He knows the urgency, for sure. And yet, here's a lady with a need, and Jesus pauses now to take care of her. You know, none of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, talk about what Jairus was doing at this time. Doesn't say what he might have been thinking or, you know, about this delay. It doesn't say he was impatiently, you know, trying to pull on Jesus like, man, we need to go. None of those words. He doesn't interrupt Jesus. He only waits. And then they continue on. Well, faith is like this. We cannot solve our problems, but we give it to Jesus. That's what Jairus did. He gave it to Jesus. And then here's some things he couldn't control and couldn't understand. Had to be frustrating. But he left it with Jesus. It's in Jesus' hands. Leave it there. That's the lesson from Jairus. Bring it to Jesus. That's what we do. Our problems and trials in life. That's what we want to do. And then leave it there. Just see what he will do with it. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Most chilling words you'd ever hear. The end of life, doesn't matter what I've owned, doesn't matter where I've lived, doesn't matter what I've had. It matters about my kids and my grandkids. About ready to lay you under the sod, what matters? Kids. Just mission fields and everything out there, lots of people out there, masses of people, lives contacted, people to help me and everything else. How are my kids? How are my kids? Well, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou thy master any further? So here during the delay, tragic word, she's dead. You can imagine how Jairus felt. Here's the death of his vision. I mean, it's like the end of his dreams. He must have thought, you know, if we hadn't been interrupted, we could have got there in time, but we stopped with this crowd. Possibly, Jairus even knew this woman had been sick all these years. Quite possibly. He must have wondered, like, yeah, seek Jesus, but why right now? You stopped everything. Well, it's a hopeless situation. Jesus is finally finishing up with this woman, and you know, some people come from his home with this devastating news. She's dead. What a cold-hearted way of expressing this. They inform him. There's no sign of compassion or comfort or sympathy. Just the whole card, hard facts here. How blunt can you get? How final can it be? Why are you bothering Jesus now? She's dead. Right, give it up. So that's the end of it. Don't bother Jesus. Even he can't fix this. Well, that had to rock Jairus to the foundations and attack his faith. You know, he said, wouldn't you be like on the very edge of despair? Feel quite impatient with the people at a time like this. After Brenny's operation, the opportunity to be by his bedside. Ah, you'd trade places to get in that bed to set that little boy free, not knowing the future. Praise God what he's done in his life. But you ever been with a very sick child? You know the anxiety that gripped him. There's some important lessons here. One, deity, Jesus, God. Deity does not move on my schedule. God, in fact, is not bound by time or space. God has no calendar to keep. And so here's the delays of life. One thing about the delays of life, they can increase our faith. Joseph in the delays of life ended up down in the pit, as Lyle's talking about this morning. Then into slavery, then in prison. The delays, but out of those delays became the prime minister of Egypt. Now God doesn't move sometimes as quickly as we expect or we pray or we anticipate that God might move. But God is moving, and God is moving on his schedule. Keep trusting God. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word and was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, said to Jairus, said to this daddy, be not afraid, only believe. What's your situation today? God speaks to your heart, speaks peace, speaks to mine. Don't be afraid, just believe. Here's an impossible situation. Well, this little girl's not sick. Now she's dead. And so, how does Jairus' faith respond? Well, Jairus' faith responds in Jesus, which does not waver. Wow, Jairus does not waver. Jesus says, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, he's saying, don't believe what you hear. Verse 35, and he had spake, and there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Don't be afraid what you hear. Don't be afraid of what you know. What do you know? Verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the summit, the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. So don't be afraid of what you know. In fact, don't even be afraid of what you see. What do you see? Verse 40. They laughed him to scorn. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. So don't be afraid. Friend, don't be afraid. God speaks to our hearts. How many times do we see that lesson of faith with Jesus and his disciples? Back into the classroom. Another lesson on faith. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Don't be afraid of what you hear, what you know, what you see. Believe in me. And so, Jairus, you believed in me when you came to me a few moments ago. Oh, keep believing in me now. And so that's what faith looks like. You know, instincts will say, this is hopeless. Faith looks to God as greater than anything we see or know or hear. So maybe you felt like that. Maybe even recently you felt like this is a no-hope situation. Well, then get that problem to Jesus. That's what Mary and Martha did. They sent for Jesus to heal Lazarus, but then, you know, Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. He delayed his coming. By the time he arrived, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So they thought hope was gone, but the delay was only setting the stage for a greater miracle. Disciples felt that way in the storm, like, the storm's here, we're going to perish. There's no hope. The Savior's not moving on the time that we expected. But the delay is just setting the stage for a greater miracle. A lot of times we can't see what God is doing. It seems like God is taking his time. And we can say, maybe God is never early. But friend, we do know this, God is never late. God is never late. God has a plan. And so we need to learn to trust him as God is accomplishing his purposes. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And so here's faith, the faith that triumphs. Our faith that triumphs is rooted in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus hears the news. Jesus knows the fears of Jairus. Yeah, he says, don't be afraid. So Jesus and Jairus continue. They get there, and there's, you know, mourners there, wailing, crying their sad tunes with their flutes. They're paid to do that. That's just what they do there. And, you know, I'm not saying they don't care. For the crowd that's there, how can we say they don't care? TV girl died of cancer. For that funeral, the people of that town lined the streets. A lot of people didn't know them personally. Oh, but they cared. They were there in her honor. Well, Jewish law required even for the poorest people to have at least one mourner and flutes. So they showed up, they're wailing and screaming. Death had entered into this home. Now you have to be buried by sundown. And Melissa's talked about, you know, people they've met and the grief and the tears over other people's loss. Julie too. Us too. Or certain names of those who aren't doing so good brings tears to your eyes. Well, we don't know if this, you know, is all just a show or genuine for the pain of the family, but we do know, you know, even a lot of morticians, they really care, even though it gets to be routine. So there's many in the crowd that really care and get behind this. I like what Crossroads Momentum had, prayer for guidance. Life has become very complicated and gets more so daily. While each generation inherits the gain of the last, it also inherits their pains, perils, and problems. The cry of the good old days when life was simpler, local, separated by oceans from others, worldwide conflict fits the occasion. The believer has assistance available in this life for the asking. Here's my prayer for the today. Loving Lord, I cannot find my way through this troubled world alone. I need you to show me the way today and every day. Help me to follow you closely. Amen. That's what Jairus wanted to do. I mean, here's many mourners. Mark talks about the tumult, which is like the clamor, the uproar. Many think, you know what, this is the end. Jesus calls it a sleep here. But that's not soul sleep. That's not the false concept of the cults where the body and soul go together down in the grave and stay there till the resurrection. The body sleeps, but the soul's with the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's Bible. So one day the body and soul will be together again. So, but for now, the body rests until waiting for the resurrection. So Jesus just letting everybody know he's in control. Jesus healed the sick woman. That was no problem. Jesus cast out a legion of demons out of the demoniac. That was no problem. Jesus calmed the raging sea. And now there's a girl that died. But to God, that's no problem. And so when you're faced with a hopeless situation, you know, just remember the Lord. Jesus sees, and here's the idea of, you know, watching. Jesus sees, he's watching. There's all this clamor going on, watching what's going on around that house for a long time. And there's no laughter. There's no laughter, not until now. Now they laugh. because he tells the mourners, stop their wailing. The girl is not dead. She's just sleeping. Now they laugh. Verse 40, they laughed him to scorn. When he had put them out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him, entered in where the damsel was lain. Well, here's what faith does. It sees the unbelievable. It believes the unbelievable. Sees the invisible. And receives the impossible. And so, unbelief sees nothing from God. And that's what the mourners and many of those others had. No faith. So Jesus sends them out. They're just spectators. Put them out. They lack faith. Now they're going to be excluded from seeing his power. And so he takes her by the hand. He says, Talithiae kumiae. Very tender expression. He says to the girl, melt this father's heart. Melt her mother's heart. Arise, little lamb. That's what he's saying to her. Verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand, said to her, Talithiae kumiae, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. So others see, they're astonished with a great astonishment. Lyle used this phrase in Sunday school. Blew my mind. It blew my mind. It blows their minds. I mean, it's like, wow, this is impossible. So Jairus, he's still, you know, taking in these impossible situations, and we see it. God can change it for his glory. When I hear sirens a lot. Sirens keep me praying. And now here in Kansas City, not far from the hospital, as R.L.E. pointed out, yeah, we hear more sirens than ever. In fact, when this apartment complex was busy down the road here, we hear sirens right on this road a whole lot, headed that way. Different kinds of situations. Not so much now. We hear sirens in Kansas City, and sirens remind me to pray. First thing I pray for is the glory of God through this situation, but then also for the needs of the people. This brought glory to God and also met the needs of the people. Jesus is moved with compassion by the grief in that home. It amazes us to read, you know, about Jesus walking on the water or feeding the multitude or taking a little bit of food with that to feed them, calming a storm, healing sickness. I don't guess anything showcases his glory and his power like raising someone from the dead. And since Jairus, you know, he sees here with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Verse 43, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, Jesus didn't bring a crowd with him. He just brought his certain disciples and Jairus. He didn't want everybody observing this. And there's good reasons for that. It wasn't time for Jesus to make the full revelation of himself in Israel. So the principle is, God always does things at the right time. God is on time every time. God does things at the right time. And we look back on life, we can see many truths of that in our own lives. Secondly, Jesus did not want everyone to think, you know, that they could bring every sick person to him for a healing, or just be a healing ministry in Israel, and just that, like some of the stuff on TV. And or you just bring your dead to him and have him resurrected. The principle is here, God has an exacting plan for your life, and he may not exactly fulfill it in the ways that you expect. So Jairus' faith is enlarged. He's discovering the power of God, and Jairus will never be the same. Isn't that true for us too? I mean, we have our problems, we have our huge obstacles, we bring them to the Lord, and then we discover, you know what, when sickness comes, got to keep believing in Jesus. When death comes, and it does, keep your faith strong in Jesus. Or the bottom falls out, what are you going to do? How many times you've been there in the past, you wonder, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? God somehow works it out. Believe. Answers the prayer, delayed, keep believing. People ridicule your faith. You have a hopeless situation. Be a believer in Jesus. So the problem, you know, is there. But a huge problem is a little problem beside a big God. You might say, I don't have much faith either. You just take your little bitty faith, whatever that is, and place it in a big God. That's the answer. He's the answer. And so God's will. In fact, might be somebody here today, your heart's just been cold and far from God. Jesus is still the answer. Come to him. Let him restore you. In October 18, 1982, at the Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, there were 60,000 fans. University of Wisconsin was playing the University of Michigan. University of Michigan was blowing them away, racking up the points. And yet, something strange happened. Every so often, out of the stands, you hear cheering arise. What was that all about? Applause. Michigan was running up the score. Well, 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in the third game of the World Series. So a lot of those Wisconsin fans had their little radios there in the stadium. They're listening to the game. They're cheering over something. But that was something different than what was right before their very eyes. It was over a game a long ways away. In Christian life, you know, we might be facing the beating of our lives as well. But we can be rejoicing in Jesus. And that which is to come, a long ways away perhaps, but we see the victory as we listen to the word of God. And we say, we have every reason to cheer. It may look bleak down here, but friend, what's ahead? It's out of this world. In 1871, tragedy struck. Chicago fire. And finally extinguished over 300 lives, and 100,000 were homeless. Chicago lawyer Horatio Stafford had highly invested in the downtown, and now everything he had invested in down there was lost. Tragically, also, he lost his only son who had died. So now he's helping the grief-stricken and the homeless people who have been ruined by the fire. And that went on for a long period of time, and Stafford believed that they needed a vacation, so he planned a trip to England to help out D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey in an evangelistic campaign, then travel in Europe. Well, he was delayed by business, so he sent his family on ahead. They were on the ship Villa de Havre, which never made it, because off Newfoundland, it collided with an English vessel, the Loch Earn, and sank in 20 minutes. Horatio's wife, Anna, clung for her life on a piece of floating wreckage. She became one of 47 survivors out of the hundreds who were on board. But their four daughters were lost in the waters. And then Spafford received that infamous telegram from his wife, Anna. Two words: saved alone. Well, Spafford immediately got on the next ship he could to go to his grieving wife. And when that ship passed where his daughters had died, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, Bessie, Horatio Spafford penned these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, the trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Here's another daddy. His faith is evident. We find again God working through tragedies. A photographer is taking pictures at a Vietnam memorial, and as he's taking pictures, he sees a new memorial there, two little crosses, and three words, "Only one son." As he's getting to take pictures, he hears a voice over his shoulder, "Do you like it?" He said, "Oh, I do." And a man said, "I'm glad, because that's my son. Only one son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves his son too. We lost our son, not by choice. God gave his son so you and I could have eternal life. Died for our sin, for our benefit. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity of searching your scriptures again. Lord, for the comfort to our hearts about how great you are, but how much you care. And remembering how many times you've come to us in our place of need. How many times you have answered our prayers as we've called out to you in behalf of others. And we thank you on any given day. We can remember, here's a little girl. Here's a little girl, always knew. Her daddy loved her. Every day we can look up to heaven and breathe the words, "My Father." Thank you for being our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Minister to our hearts now. Perhaps somebody slipped in here today and they got some needs that, well, they don't even tell others because it's so personal, it's so deep, so painful. Or lesser needs. May we just take them now, Lord, and lay them at your feet. And like Jairus, have faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.